Towards the end of last year, we had quite a furore about the poisoned food being sold through spaza shops that killed a number of South African children. There's been a reaction, potentially a huge overreaction. Gigi Alcock will be telling us what's actually happening on the ground. Happy New Year to you, Gigi. I hope 2025 is even better than 2024. And I know that was a big one for you. Busy times. Altvest, you guys are busy there, but your kind of sweet spot in the informal sector is now seemingly getting more into the consciousness of people, that this is such an important part of South Africa's economy.
Great. Thanks, Alec. Yeah. It was an exciting year last year, and I think the informal economy is more and more on the radar. And in particular, I guess in a negative way, the spaza shops came onto the national psyche around the poisoning. And I think, you know, sadly, you know, there was a huge overreaction by the government. There was a, you know, the initial thing was that these kids are being killed from or poisoned from food that's outdated in the spaza sector, which I challenged early on. And it came out eventually that the primary reason for the fatalities was actually pesticides that are used in the home as well as in the shops, and guess contamination of food from that. And yet, sadly, there hasn't been enough of a focus on getting rid of the pesticides that are sold freely on the streets. I've got photos of, you know, people at the taxi rank selling them as an example, you know, and we've focused instead on the foreign traders, and we've focused on outdated food and spaza shops.
Politically convenient.
Yeah, so I think it's been really used to, challenge the foreign ownership of the spazas and what I call spazarets, more supermarket type outlets. And the mistake with that is really, you know, the assumption is that the South African is going to leap into the shop the minute they get rid of the Somali or the Ethiopian who dominate that sector, and that's not going to really happen. And it's in a sense a waste of a tragedy, because I think that there's four issues that need to be addressed. The first issue is about pesticides everywhere in the home as well as in stores. And the reason that pesticides has become such a big issue is that rat infestations in most townships, particularly the more informal townships, places like Alexandra and Khayelitsha and stuff. Rats is a huge issue because the government doesn't remove rubbish. Rubbish is then dumped on street corners or in wasteland. So actually, it's a municipal issue that if they were removing rubbish and stuff like that better, we wouldn't have these as bad rat infestations.
Gigi? How bad is the rats? Now, many people in the business community think, oh, they might see the odd rat, scurrying down a sewer drain once in a blue moon. Or we'll talk about rats, but then just talk about flies as well, because flies also breed where there's rubbish that hasn't been removed, and that can become an infestation very quickly. But how bad is it in the informal settlements?
Look, in places like in Alex, which has a very high density of housing, and a lot of it is more kind of informal, and a place like Khayelitsha, similar, really, really bad. I mean, extremely bad, and lots of very large rats. There's often anecdotal stories of kids having, you know, toes bitten in the night and stuff like that. So it really is a big issue I recently did some work around the kind of waste sector and looked at, and we talk a lot about litter in the townships and stuff. You'll find most people you know, actually sweep the street outside their home, pick up litter. People don't want litter, but when they take the rubbish and they put it out for collection, you find that the municipality doesn't come and fetch it. Now, you know, we'll have that issue in the suburbs now and then, and you see there's just chaos. There's rubbish everywhere. If you must imagine a township where there's even less services than in the suburban area. So that's a really big issue, particularly, you know, things like nappies, food that's thrown away and stuff. You know, that's the issue with a lot of the litter in the townships. You know, so it's not only the rat issue. I mean, it looks terrible. And you generally will find that people, if the municipality don't come and fetch the rubbish, they will then take the rubbish and drop it at on a area of wasteland, you know. And so you find these kind of waste areas with huge piles of rubbish dumped there. So it really is a major issue. And it's like you said, it's not only rats, it's rats, it's flies, it's cockroaches, and you know, people. It's a major issue, and you know, it's very now commonplace to find this poisoning by these agricultural pesticides that are illegal for domestic use, but you know, people somehow they're getting into people's homes and into spaza shops.
Needs must. But let's just follow the dots. So the municipalities are failing in their service delivery of picking up rubbish. So the rubbish is leading to an infestation of rodents and other pests. The people who live there, quite rationally, are going to find a way of protecting themselves against these pests. And so they are buying insecticides and poisons that you mentioned earlier are actually not approved for domestic use. So that has another implication, because they're going to be sold in spaza shops. And the problem that occurred was that in spaza shops, that poison somehow got into food, which killed children. So it all seems to be related from what you've told us.
Yeah. So look, I mean, the Minister of Health was quoted as saying that they inspected the knickknacks or whatever that were purchased by the kids who died from the spaza shop, and the knickknacks had no contamination, and so the pesticide clearly came from another source, and the source was in home. So that's the Minister Ellis Mitsoledi saying that. But at the same time, instead of then addressing the issues of why are we getting pesticides in people's homes, it's become a whole thing about foreign ownership of spaza shops. It's become outdated food. And there's no evidence at all, despite everything that they've done, that there's any outdated food that would have killed someone. I mean, apart from the fact that outdated food, you know, a packet of chips is going to be stale, so the kid probably won't eat it, but it's not going to kill you. So, you know, and again, it's become then this populist thing about getting the foreigners. We must get rid of the foreigners, and so they've jumped on that whole bandwagon. And the reality is that we have municipal bylaws that address health issues and stocking issues. They've just got to enforce that. Now what they've gone and done is they've said all these spaza shops have to be registered and foreigners can't register spazas. And then, of course, what happens is that, you know, by my figures, there's about 25 billion rand a year is earned by South African households renting out spazas to foreigners. Now, the minister and the presidency said, and Paul Mashatile the other day said in December, said, we're going to crack down on South Africans who are helping register spaza shops for foreigners. But what do they think? That, you know, people would just go and register a foreign spaza shop out of love for the Ethiopian. The reality is that there's a major business and incomes being earned by South Africans. And we should be recognizing those benefits and finding ways. Sure, they need to, you don't want illegal immigrants, but at the same time, we need to, you know, address it in a more realistic fashion, not to just crack down with a blunt object and remove incomes that households are earning from spaza rental. There's also a massive savings that consumers benefit from not paying a taxi to go to a shopping center, and so can buy goods closer to home. So there's all these kind of benefits that they're ignoring in the process of kind of what's a populist agenda.
Yeah, there are two things that jump out to me. The one is, wherever you go in the world, immigrants are the ones who do the tough jobs, and running a spaza shop or a small retailer. Retail is tough, but when you're running retailer, that's even tougher. And the second thing on this is that the big businesses must be loving it. If you are ShopRite and you, as it is, are trying to get into the informal areas and into the townships, suddenly your competitors are being removed for you by government on a very flimsy pretext. Might there be a bit of lobbying that's going on here from big business?
Look, I don't think so. I mean, ShopRite has very cleverly launched ShopRite Cash and Carry. You know, if you can't beat them, supply them. And so they supply a large portion of, through their wholesale business. Are they supplying the spaza sector? According to Trade Intelligence, the spaza sector is worth about 187 billion rand a year, and it's growing faster than the formal retail at almost double the pace. So of course there's an impact on the likes of ShopRite, although probably more on the likes of Pick and Pay than Boxer and ShopRite, who are doing very well. And well positioned in terms of where they have their stores and stuff. So I don't believe it's that. I think that the issue is more it's a political issue, and it's a whole thing around not recognizing this informal sector as a whole, but also misunderstanding the spaza sector and the benefits to South Africans. So I actually would blame municipalities and government. And particularly ANC politicians around kind of, wanting to crack down on this kind of stuff as to be seen as, helping South Africans open their own spaza shops, which of course the South Africans would rather rent out the spaza shop than run it.
There are not too many Americans who run the equivalent. It's Koreans and people from other parts of the world, particularly the Koreans, who seem to have a lockhold on that sector. And here in South Africa, years gone by, it was always the Portuguese and the Greek immigrants who seemed to be the ones prepared to work the 12, 14 hours a day that you have to put in for the benefits that accrue in a very, very competitive market. But talking to my nephew's wife, I don't know what, there's a niece-in-law, I guess you could call her, she's quite involved in the sector as well and investing in the sector. And she was telling me that there has been a lot of fallout from the way that government has mismanaged this whole situation. Jobs being lost, people not being able to provide the goods that they had in the past. What are you seeing from your perspective?
So, Alec, the first few weeks, I mean, this was kind of like COVID, the first few weeks, there was a chaos. Most of the spaza shops were not restocking. They were, because they believed that there was going to be wholesale closing of their shops. They were only given 14 days, I think it was, to register. And so the initial impact, I mean, the wholesalers, wherever, we're working, we saw empty wholesalers. And I think that was, if that had continued, it'd been chaos. But what we saw was it very quickly turned out that it's going to be very hard for the government to enforce anything. It's all very well to make these statements and go on the news to two or three spaza shops and close them down and have an inspection and a walk around. It's a very different thing to actually sustain that across 100,000 odd outlets. And so actually over December, the spaza sector, I was chatting to some of the wholesale people, and there's actually been a recovery. And in fact, some of them are claiming that there's a benefit because Mozambique was in chaos. So the Mozambican immigrants didn't go home. So they've been shopping up a storm here. And actually it's been a bumper year. So I think that, it remains to be seen. The new deadline, I think, is the end of February for registration of spaza shops. It remains to be seen if the government will clamp down on it, but there has been a very quick rebound by that sector, more or less across the board, and we're definitely not seeing an impact on the wholesale sector that's applying that.
We're a pragmatic nation, aren't we? We might have a government that has laws, but if they're not going to enforce them, then people are simply going to ignore stupid laws, and this does appear to be one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, the reality is that, I mean, there was an article in City Press after the closure of some spazas in Naledi and Soweto, and the article was about a month later, from old age pensioners saying we need the Somalis to come and reopen their shops because we now have to take a taxi to go to the shopping center. We can't get bread and milk and all the things we need. And, you know, I think that we underestimate the service that's provided by, you know, broadly that informal sector, but specifically the spaza sector in providing, products close to home and so on. And I think that, you know, the reality is that these it's dominated by Somali and Ethiopian traders. Those guys have taken 6 months crossing crocodile-infested rivers and stuff to get here and opened a shop in the middle of a township against all the odds. It's going to take a lot more to get them to, close up and head back to Mogadishu. So, I think people are much more resilient than we realize. And the sad thing is that actually one of the biggest beneficiaries of this has been municipalities, because there's a huge, all the Somalis and Ethiopians who I speak to say, oh no, we just paid a bribe. And then they said they'd register the shop or they'd leave us alone. You know, it's like, who's the beneficiary of this? That it's the municipal workers who getting bribes for either helping register or turning a blind eye to these guys. But yeah, I mean, the main thing is that I think that we're not going to see much of an impact in real terms on a massive scale. These guys are much more resilient. They'll make a plan. They'll get the South African who they're renting from to help them register the business and so on and so forth.
Unintended consequences of another dumb law. But when you take it one step back, how did the government get this so wrong? Is it just an inability to appreciate what happens in the economy, and in particular here on the informal sector? Are they that far removed from what's actually going on?
Hello, I have I get asked fairly regularly to help government or municipalities with some advice, and I generally turn it down, not because I don't want to help, but actually I find that they are insanely out of touch with what is actually going on in the township. You have these officials who really haven't walked the streets. They haven't gone to spaza shop. They really don't know what's going on. And then that carries through to the top guys, you know, who have even less understanding of what is going on in the township, and have this image in their mind that a spaza is this hole in the wall, kind of dark and dingy, rat infested with, some highly illegal, unwashed Somali trading there. And when you walk into these stores, you know, they've got barcode systems. They, you know, really sophisticated stores. I'm not saying there aren't the little rat infested hole in the wall one, but the majority aren't. And yet there's no understanding of that. And this is, you know, the problem is that the guys don't have this understanding. So what happens is that some connected politician says, we've got to get rid of the Somalis so that we can get South Africans into these positions. And the politicians pick up on it and run with it.
And it's just nonsense. Let's hope that 2025 is going to be the year of eye-opening and holding to account these fools who are willfully ignorant, because all it would take really is to go along, go and walk the streets, as you say, go and see what's really happening on the ground, and then you wouldn't be costing lots of people plenty of money, as you've explained, and really just stimulating crime. Because if the reality of South Africa is bring in a new law, force them to be regulated, and, well, somebody's going to get paid off somewhere, as you've explained, is happening on the ground. But of course, that is not a politically palatable belief, I suppose.
Yeah, and I, you know, the reality is that you know, I think at the end of the day, business is the solution for most of our issues. We've seen this with the Operation Vulindlela, but in particular, you know, you know, someone like a Capitec or a ShopRite really know what's going on the ground much better than the politicians. And if they kind of took a lead from business and actually said, "Well, let's understand what's going on," you know. And engage with people who are working with, for instance, the spaza sector, doing good business in those sectors, they would have a much better understanding of what's going on. The problem is that they kind of look at it through this government control lens as opposed to business lens.
T.G. Alcock, the man who wrote Cousinomics, and our go-to guy on anything to do with informal economics. In fact, it should be economics generally. And I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.